right, welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky, and this music, we actually did see the most recent Star Wars movie at, where was it, in Danvers, and it's at the littlest theater because it's been there so long. I think that holds like 40, 50 people or something like that, maybe 80, but it's 40. It's theater number eight, and I hadn't been there since it, you can take a libation into the movie with you now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a bar just set up at the middle, you know, where the movie split off to the right and left. There's a bar there, and you can go in, and I got myself a cold brew. We got some popcorn. We went in, and we watched Star Wars, the most recent edition. They have reclining chairs. They're all leather recliners, and there's a limited number of seats, and we reserved ours, went online, and it's got the cup holders and the automatic thing where you go back, and your feet go up, and... holy rollies, it was amazing. It was absolutely... But...
It's kind of like those... the movie houses are very popular in the early 90s, where you go there and they had a big plush lounge, plus chairs or couches, and you could sit there and watch the movie. You could get...
With the additional Benny of being able to take an alcoholic beverage.
Up in Maine, years ago...
It's amazing.
I took my brother and we took his kids... and some friends' kids to this movie theater, and they had the big oversized chairs, and you could get beer and food there. It was great.
It's amazing. Yeah. So it was most comfortable. We watched the movie. It was okay. I don't know what the rave was about. It, again, was sort of a...
The Star Wars.
Sort of a remake. Yeah, but there's two sets of Star Wars. There's the original nine that Lucas had in mind. This is number eight in that episode. In that series, and then there's the offshoots, these prequels and all that. And there are three Star Wars movies being made as we speak. One is number nine, the final installment of the original Lucas series. I was very disappointed. I mean, the special effect, it was just one constant chase scene, okay? And you have the familiar aspects of it, but even in the first movie, Tim, if you remember, it was such a surprise. No one had ever quite seen anything like that.
No.
No one had ever quite done it that way, but there was also some pretty solid character development, oddly enough.
Yes.
None in this one. Zero. Just zero. And no plot. I mean, it's just, oh my word. But it was fun. It's Star Wars, you know, but the movie experience itself was most enjoyable.
Good.
Yeah, it was good. But that it begs the question of the music we were playing. I was looking for some from Star Wars type music or 2001 A Space Odyssey, because before we came on the air, Tim and I were just discussing Falcon Heavy launch. That was it's mind-boggling. And what Elon Musk and SpaceX are doing can't be done. It's impossible. You can't do that. You cannot bring back boosters and land them vertically and then refurbish them and send them up again.
None of that can be done. Splashes them in the ocean, then goes collects them. But
you can't reuse them. And none of them can. It's just...
No, they do reuse them.
I don't think NASA does. Not their own boosters. I don't know that one's ever been reused.
The ones in the space shuttle were. Yeah. One Thaco would take them and they refurbish them.
You're right. Because they come down in parachutes. They came down in parachutes. Yeah. But these land... vertically.
That's amazing.
And that is nuts. That's just nuts. And then they go up again. And then Starman up there, they're just fantastic.
Yeah. Now, fantastic. On another unrelated note, if you didn't happen to watch the Constellation Beanpot game, okay, I turned it on, and Harvard was ahead 4-2 with about 5 minutes left. I drive up the street, and... just before I get out of the car, BC scores. They went on the power play, and they pulled the goalie, so they were playing 6-on-5, okay, and 6-on-4, and they just as I was getting out to get my coffee, BC scored. Going to get the coffee, come back out. Now they're in overtime. So BC and they started the power play with 3 minutes left. Three and change. They not only scored one, they tied it up, and then they lost. Harvard scored about 5 minutes into it. BC had all the pressure in the beginning of the overtime, and Harvard went down the other end, and they put one in. But I mean, for a game that was the consolation game, and I said not a lot of people were at the game because it's the early game. People who were coming in to see the final game, Northeastern and BU, boy, did they see an exciting end to the consolation game.
Well, our friend Steve Krause is there, and I don't know that we'll be checking in with him, but he's rooting on Northeastern, his alma mater. Yeah. And it's funny you should mention Harvard, because we'll be talking with Marblehead Boys basketball coach Mike Giardi, who covers Harvard football. He broadcasts Harvard football, as well as coaches Marblehead baseball and coaches Marblehead football. And the guy, I'm pretty sure, has a bunk in the locker room and just stays there. But we will be talking with Coach Giardi as Marblehead has bounced back to have a really good, nice basketball season. Don't know about Gary Larrabee. Gary hasn't responded. I think we'll be chatting with Gary as we'll probably talk some basketball and some golf also. And then, let's see here. By the way, the headline, Marblehead coach indicted for rape of 9-year-old boy. We don't know him. He has nothing to do with the schools. Don't know anything about it. So that headline that we have, you'll have to read what's on our website. And we got that from the district attorney's office. And out there, it's out there in the news. A 31-year-old Marblehead man was indicted for aggravated rape of a child, 4 counts of indecent assault and battery on a child under 14. Marblehead police say they arrested the man arraigned in Lynn District Court on Friday. His LinkedIn profile says he works with lacrosse and baseball players. He also provides private and group hockey coaching sessions in the area, but is not affiliated with Marblehead Youth Hockey Association or Marblehead High School. So be careful of that. I don't want anybody to be misled by that. So we will be chatting with, we won't be chatting with Gary. Just got an email from Gary. He's not available tonight. And he's not feeling well. Gary, I hope you feel better, because my daughter just went through that down at Drexel University. She was sick for 2 weeks, yeah. Went to the emergency room. We ordered her to go to the emergency room. So kids, if you're out there, pay attention. On Friday, she went to the emergency room, missed a test. They won't let her make the test up. This is for Drexel University, okay? And I am not happy about that. She also took a test previous to that when she had a fever of 101 in the same course and didn't do well in it because she had a fever of 101. So she's sweating that figuratively and literally, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And so she's in the emergency room and come to find out she's diagnosed with the flu. So they, you know, she's at the tail end of it, but she should have gotten in her. Didn't get a flu shot. Now her significant other, who was nursing her, he's got it. And we're going down there on Friday to visit them both, and I'm just praying that neither is contagious.
Cheers up. Well,
yeah. We did get our flu shots back in the fall.
I did get one this year, and I've never gotten one before. My wife had it really bad the last week. She missed a couple of days of work. She's just beginning to come out of it, and I've got this tickle in my throat. And so I've been taking the medicine as a precautionary measure and sucking down on my cough drops. But I did have a couple things for Gary. If you listen out there, Gary, Billy Hurley III produced an amazing attack ad in the PGA Tour election against Jordan Spieth, to which basically read, a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, certainly said has the bearing, but he sent out a message basically that he is running again, making it be known that he was running against Jordan Spieth, and he had certain qualifications, and Jordan Spieth said back, certainly are qualified. You have my vote.
For what?
The president of the Players Advisory Council, or chairman of the Player Advisory Council. So it's, I guess it was kind of tongue in cheek. On both their parts, but it sort of livens up another season in the PGA, and the other one is the mystery man Ted Potter Jr. You know who he is?
Ted Potter Jr. No,
he is the latest winner on the PGA Tour. He won the other day at Pebble Beach.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and he beat other luminaries.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure Gary would know who this guy is, because he was ranked 246th on the tour.
He might.
Okay, now this guy, when he played the Web Tour, the minor league tour, he failed to make the cut in all 24 events. He missed 2 years with a broken foot. Okay. And then he comes out of the PGA Tour, and he beats the likes of Phil Mickelson, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Chaz Revie, who all finished in second place.
Oh, my. Well, do you, you know, you see Red Gerard the other day, a 17, 18-year-old kid, wins a gold medal, and he said, did you see his interviews? He's like, I was just happy to come here. I wasn't expecting to win anything.
Yeah, you know, so it goes along with every week I ask Gary, you know, who are these guys? Because every week it's somebody different in the PGA, and I keep, you know, and I asked him last week. I said, you know, here's another guy. So is it good to have Tiger back? That if he can ever get back and win some tournaments and sort of elevate the
game? Is it with you and Tiger, by the way? I mean, I
always enjoyed playing Tiger because he played aggressive golf, and he. He won, and he did it with his own style. And Jack had his style, Arnie had his style, Gary. They all had their own styles, and so did Tiger. And there was a bit of panache to all of them. There was something different that set them apart from the other guys. Nothing really separates any of these other guys: Johnson, Spieth, Day, Fowler. It's like they're all cookie cutters. There's no distinctive quality about those guys. You know, and all these other guys that are winning, it's like, you know, plug in a name, he'll be the winner next week.
So. Well, I don't know if that's good or bad. It sounds like you don't like it, but
I don't.
Okay,
I don't.
All right, we'll take a break, and then we will talk with Nick Kukreau later on. We're going to talk to Marblehead boys basketball coach Mike Giardi.
And I know Gary's going to beat me up for that too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, he
as he usually does every week.
I don't think he's a Tiger fan.
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, he's not. No, I've gotten that distinct impression through our conversations.
We'll talk to Nick Kukreau later on about high school sports in the area. Tonight's schedule, boys hockey, Middlesex is at Pingree tonight. Danvers is playing at Masconomet. Danvers finishing unbeaten in the NEC with a record of 12-0-0. Yep. 15-1-0 overall. Just a tremendous year for Coach Baldessari's boys. Austin Prep is at St. John's Prep tonight. That's a 7:30 game. Marblehead playing Peabody at Salem State. That is a 7:30 game as well. Girls hockey, Peabody is at Oakmont, wherever that is. Boys basketball tonight, Lynn Tech is at Hamilton Wenham, 6:30 start. St. John's Prep is at St. Mary's. Big game there, that's at 7, boys basketball. And girls basketball tonight, Cardinal Spellman at Bishop Fenwick, Marblehead at Swampscott, Peabody at Newburyport. Tomorrow, Bill Newell will be broadcasting Lynn Classical, Lynn English boys basketball right here on MSO News Sports. And we're going to talk with Coach Giardi. Then after that, we're going to invite people to call in. We haven't done this in a while, and if anybody is listening live, I know we get a lot of listeners when we go podcast, when we go on demand. But if you're listening live, write this number down, 978-325-3638, 978-325-3638, and call in and brag about your team, whether it's basketball, hockey, wrestling. We don't hear a lot about gymnastics. What else do you have? Any sport at all, your school, you want to talk about it and brag about your school, give us a call, 978-325-3638, and we'll take those calls after we talk with Coach Giardi. How's that? And if that doesn't work, you and I will bat a lot of stuff around because there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, first day at Red Sox, and everybody was just pitchers had a report, and everybody was there today.
New coach, new manager.
New attitude, hopefully.
Okay, we'll see.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeannsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we're back live with Marblehead boys basketball coach Mike Giardi. And, Coach, we're trying out a new phone here, so I don't know if it's going to work. We may have to call you back on the other one. But how are things going?
We just got out of practice tonight, getting ready for Malden High School tomorrow night. Going to be a tough game. They're a tough opponent, obviously, bringing some GBL teams into the Northeast Conference has made it really challenging for a lot of teams this year, and it's been a battle for us, that's for sure.
Coach, last time I talked with you, I saw you was during football season. A year ago, as a matter of fact, not even this season. So we got a lot to talk about if you have the time. But first, update us on your team, because Bill was telling me that got off to a kind of a rough start, but things have smoothed out well for you.
Yeah, you know, we started out a little bit rough. We first two games we played Swampscott and Saugus that are having a little bit of down years, and we were able to jump on top of them. But then we ended up losing to Gloucester. We lost to New Mission. And then we lost a close one to Masconomet. Every game, it seemed that we were in, and it was really tough. And then we went to Lynn English and struggled against a really good Lynn English team, gave them a good battle. But we kind of found our niche right after that Lynn English game, battled our way. We won two, lost a tight one to Somerville, where we played a really solid game. And I think the kids finally started believing. And we've run off a couple of big wins, including Friday night against Classical, where we held them to 39 points and was able to come away with a victory.
Wow, wow. What's the change, Mike? The kids maturing, playing better together as a team. What's different? Because obviously that's a huge win the other night.
You know, I think that, as we said the whole year, is we're not the same team as last year, different personnel, different personalities. For us, it's been really, really good that we come up with a really solid game plan. And the kids aren't really panicking. They're truly believing in the game plan and sticking with it for 32 minutes. Even the game we lost against Somerville, we had a solid game plan. We just ended up getting beat really by one player who ended up having 30 points. We game planned and strategized against one player, and another guy stepped up for them. And that's all you can really do is, you try to take care of what you expect. And if things change, you know, we try to make adjustments on the fly, but we did a real good job against Peabody and Medford of keeping our game plan for all 32 minutes, and that was our game plan against Lynn Classical, was to make sure that we kept Edwin Solis in check, and we did a pretty good job of that for the most part, and that's why we ended up holding on for that 41-39 victory.
Coach, hold on one second, Tim. Bill and I split duties. Bill covers basketball play-by-play, and I've been doing the hockey, but I know some of your kids from football, and I met Derek Marino for the first time back in the fall on the field. And when you sit up in the stands and you see how big Andy Clough is and some of the other kids that you have, and your big linebacker there, and then Derek doesn't look that big, but I go down on the field, he's a good-sized kid and a pretty good athlete. What can you tell me about him as a basketball player?
You know, he's a hard-nosed kid on the football field and on the basketball court. And he was a baseball player for a couple of years. I always tease him that I'm going to try to bring him back into baseball. But, you know, he's about 6'2", 6'3", probably goes about 185, 190, and has a frame that he could put on another 10 or 15 pounds pretty easy. He's a kid that just attacks the rim and is so athletic at times, he almost goes too fast even for himself. He's had some big, big games for us, even against Everett, where Everett beat us 74-44. We were trying to hang in with there with Everett, and Derek was doing all he could. He had 24 points against Everett the other night, and just did a fantastic job of really keeping us in any kind of game with them, especially in that first half, and just really works for us. And his athleticism, as you said, is really beyond compare.
Yeah, he's amazing. Coach, you got
Coach, what did you said that the team took on a whole new attitude after the close English loss. What did you notice different about the team following that, where they had been, you know, up and then a little bit down, level, sort of playing level rather than playing at a higher level? What did you take away from that, and what did you see change in the kids after that English game? We know English is one of the top teams around with a lot of really skilled, not only athletes, but basketball players. What did you notice different about your team?
Well, I think we review every game, win or lose, and, you know, when you win a game, you can always talk about the mistakes because, you know, you win a game and the kids kind of forget the mistakes. So, you know, but when you lose a game, you know, the less you speak, the better, I think, sometimes as a coach, because the kids already know what they did wrong. But one of the things we did on that week is after that Lynn English game, we sat down in the locker room and we just watched the film. And we didn't say a word. We watched one quarter of play. And we just watched all the little things that we could have done a little bit different. And then when we came into the Revere game, we came out with a solid game plan right away, and we got off track, and we were actually trailing in that Revere game the next day. And we went into the halftime, and we said that we were going to take a moment to look back at what we had done wrong in that first half and come out and make those adjustments, and the kids did it. They really took to it. They came out with intensity. We played a great second half against Revere. And I think the reflection in that English game, the review of the film, and then to take that into the halftime of that Revere game and really turn it around, has been the springboard for us this year.
I have to do a quick aside. Did you hear about the outcome of the Harvard BC hockey game?
I have not. I'm sure though. One of our guys that helps out on the bench, Mike Simmons, is one of the biggest BC fans you'll ever know. So I'm sure he'll give me an update first thing tomorrow, as he always does. He loves to tell me about how BC, and especially when they play Harvard, that's for sure.
Well, would you like a quick recap?
I would, actually. I would. I'll have to call the guys.
I have it for you. I had the opportunity to listen to it on my way here to Rick's.
Oh, okay. And then what was the final?
Five minutes to go. Harvard is up 4-2. BC gets a power play with about 3.5 minutes left. They pull the goalie. They score 4-3. They tie the game up 4-4. About 5 minutes of OT. Harvard, 5-4.
Well, I'll have to talk to Teddy Donato. He and his brother and I played in minor leagues, and he was at school when I was there. Great guy, and, I'll have to give Mike Simmons the business. I have to get he's a BC alum, so I'll have to give him the business as well.
Hey, Coach, before I ask you about some of your other coaching experiences and the experience with Harvard, name another kid or two who's doing it for you, who's a leader this year for you guys.
Two young men. Derek's a captain on the team, and we vote right before the season starts, and he's done a great job, obviously. But two young men who are really two different style players but have been leaders on the team. Seamus Keeney, our point guard, has done a fantastic job running the show, especially when you lose a player like Patrick Buehler to the college ranks. Patrick was a great, great player for us, player of the year, Boston Globe All-Scholastic, Boston Herald All-Scholastic, and Seamus has stepped right in. And one of the bigger pieces is the way that Dewey Millett has really stepped up. He's been immense on the boards. He's been immense in the paint. And I think one of the biggest things is the way he stepped up into a leadership role. When you grow up with three older brothers, Willie, Maddie, when you see the older brothers coming in, and of course Bobo up at Bowdoin right now, you have three older brothers that were just unbelievable athletes in high school for a number of years. Dewey has really started to come into his own this year, had a great football season for us. And I think that springboarded him into the basketball season, both on the court and off the court, in the way he holds himself. And the kids really look up to him, and he's done a good job of leading this program.
Excellent, excellent. You see, you have Malden tomorrow?
We do. We have Malden at home tomorrow night. And they're a tough, tough squad, very athletic. They put up some big numbers. I was just reviewing some of the film a little while ago. Their last three games I'm looking at, 75-60 against Gloucester, 79-40 against Sauga, 76-48 against Danvers, and they lost a tight one to Lynn Classical. So we're expecting a battle tomorrow night, and we got a couple guys that are banged up, and it's going to be a lot of work for all of our players tomorrow.
Where's that game?
That game's going to be at Marblehead tomorrow night.
At Marblehead. Okay, are you guys in the tournament at this point?
Yeah, we have. We clinched a couple weeks ago. We played Medford on Super Bowl Sunday and won against Medford to get our 10th win. We then lost to Everett, but then we bounced back against Classical. So being 11-6 right now, we're just trying to get better pairing, better seeding. It's the big thing that we're looking at right now.
Well, congratulations, Coach. That's a great turnaround, and it bodes well for the future and for the tournament. But I have to ask you, I have a friend that I started teaching with a long time ago, Paul Ingram. And Paul and you took different paths, but you're similar. Paul, of course, is being older. And Paul is good at everything he does, at everything. And he sucks, in basically, because he's so good at everything. Can't beat him at anything. But he coaches. He can coach everything, too, Mike. And that's where I wanted to go. And obviously, I have great admiration and respect for Coach Ingram. But whether it's basketball or football, or baseball, Coach seems to know the sport, much like Roger Day, much like you, much like the guy sitting beside me. And what does that do, Mike, with your enthusiasm to coach kids? Because obviously, in the fall you're with Marblehead, you do football, on the radio, coach basketball, coach baseball. What does it all mean for you personally, Mike?
Well, I truly enjoy coaching. I truly am being around teaching. you know, kids, whether it's high school players, whether it's little leaguers. I've kind of thrown myself in here at Marblehead High School. I'm a teacher. I'm actually in my classroom right now, getting ready to work with some of the basketball guys and some of the other students that have a big test tomorrow. I thoroughly enjoy it. I like going out there. And one of the biggest things I enjoy is watching when they are successful, when things really start to click for them. And then when they take something that you showed them and gone even a step further with it. I think one of the first years in my coaching career, at least in football, was watching Hayes Richardson when we played against Swampscott. And that was when you had to win on Thanksgiving Day to go to the Super Bowl. And Hayes just took a team down the field, you know, roughly 80 yards. And we had talked all year about a certain play and running this certain play. And I said, if you get this situation, you can check off and you can do this. And he and the wide receiver just kind of made eye contact. And I turned to I'm on the headset with the coach, and I said, we should check out. I don't think this is going to be a good play. And they had a visual audible where the two of them knew what we had talked about all year, and they just ran just what we call a sluggo route, a slant and go, and ends up being a touchdown. We end up winning the game against Swampscott. We end up going to the Super Bowl. And it's just that type of thing. We had never run it in practice. We had talked about it. And to see somebody execute at that level has been great. And we saw it this year with a lot of our players. You know, we've had some great ones in football and basketball and in baseball, and just seeing them reach that next level, and they're really doing it on their own. You're just kind of, you're pushing them or nudging them the right way, but it's up to them to do it, and it's fantastic to watch and be a part of it, that's for sure.
And, Coach, that extends down to the last player on the bench too, doesn't it? Because sometimes you'll see a kid stick with it, maybe get in garbage time, but he's got something out of it. He's gained something.
You know, we have a young man on our team that we cut as a junior, Skylar Chardon. We cut him last year as a junior, and he asked me, you know, after the season, you know, he came up and said, Coach, can I still try out next year? I said, sure. He goes, can I play summer league? Can I go to fall basketball? I said, yeah, whatever you want. And he really put the work in, and we rewarded him for that effort. He's probably one of our 13th, 14th, or 15th guy on the bench. But he comes in and works at practice every single day, and I get on him just like I would Seamus Keeney, who's our starting point guard. And Skylar still comes in there every single day, and I think it helps push himself and his teammates to the next level by seeing the way that I treat him the same as I would anybody else. We're going to push them to the next level, and that's going to push our team to the next level. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, we know the feeling, Coach. We know the feeling. Finally, do you have a private dorm there at Marblehead High School where you can shower, sleep, eat, and so on? And because obviously you don't have time to go anywhere else.
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes the kids laugh because I'm usually here between 5 and 5:30 in the morning, and tonight could be an early night of getting home at 9:30 tonight. But, you just love being around here. There is one thing I did want to mention about tomorrow's game that I think would be big. Tomorrow we're doing a fundraising event for Sophia Smith. I'm not sure if you know about Sophia Smith, but we're doing the Arms Around Sophia. Our players will be wearing blue socks. As you know, Marblehead being the red, white, and black usually. We're wearing blue socks in honor of her. We'll be having bracelets. We'll be running that 50-50 halftime. And Sophia Smith, she has an aggressive, inoperable brain tumor that she was diagnosed with, and she has to have treatments overseas, actually. And so it's very, very expensive for her, everything that she goes through. And actually, Derek Marino, Billy Ackerman, and several other players kind of took the ball and ran a 3-on-3 fundraiser this summer, and we're going to continue it tomorrow night. We're going to raise all that money tomorrow and try to help her and support her. She's a young lady in Marblehead, and she's going to be out there hopefully high-fiving all the kids as they come out, as they introduce tomorrow night. So it would be a great opportunity. If you haven't seen us, come down and see us and support a great cause tomorrow.
Sounds great. Let's fill the house. It sounds great. Mike, thanks for taking so much time. Congratulations on a great season. I know Bill and I will be talking with you soon, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, guys. Look to hear from you.
Take care, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Marblehead boys basketball coach Mike Giardi. You know, Tim, we're familiar with that, everything you said. I'm not familiar with working 24 hours a day, but...
when you made that comment, to your point, it was 7:28. Do you know where your teacher is?
Yeah.
You know, he's there...
And now he's helping kids.
to review kids, review with kids for a big test tomorrow.
You know, Isaac Asimov wrote a science fiction story a long time ago called I, Robot, and it was about a robot who worked with a detective who was thought to be a human detective, but it turned out over the series that he also was a positronic man, and I wonder if Mike is the first positronic man.
Speaking of Isaac Asimov, do you know what connection he has to Elon Musk?
Well, he taught at BU.
Isaac Asimov's Foundation Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Playing as an audiobook.
Yeah, yeah,
on the
I did see that.
That's
I did see that. Yeah,
that was launched on. Yeah. The Falcon Heavy.
Yeah, well, Musk, for those who don't know, the Foundation Trilogy is an all-time classic in science fiction, written in the 30s and 40s. And Star Wars, total ripoff of the Foundation Trilogy. Total ripoff.
My buddy gave me, I got a buddy who used to do this. He gave me the middle book to the Foundation.
Second Foundation, I think it was called.
So I had to go and buy the first,
of course,
and the third.
I think I read the second one first.
And then he gave me this, and in a later occasion.
Same thing with Dune. I read the second book in the Dune trilogy first.
he gives me the second book of this five-book series. So now I got to go back and buy the first one to read the second one, and then I have to read the next three.
Yep, like, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, Isaac Asimov's Foundation.
Yep.
And if you enjoy science fiction and you have not read the Foundation series, and I read it now 35 years ago, and
it still resonates.
It was great reading.
Psychohistory and The Mule.
As you get into the reading of it and you sort of get drawn into it, your mind begins to think of all the permutations that could actually happen around us. And it's like, holy.
Well, and it's, it was a precursor to social science. But Isaac Asimov was a biochemist, as well as one of the most prolific writers in the history of the United States. He had over 400 books published. And every day he would sit in the middle of an office with four desks, northeast, south, and west, on a rotating chair. And he would write four manuscripts a day, 8 hours a day. That's what he did. And he did say when meeting Carl Sagan, he said, first man I've ever met who's smarter than I am. at any rate, I want to. I had a thought on that.
How do you segue from Isaac Asimov?
I don't. I just don't. But Elon Musk and the whole, the whole idea of reading and I think the thing with Elon Musk is the fact that don't let anybody tell you can't do something. Don't let anybody tell you can't do it. Well, let them tell you, but don't let it happen.
Yeah,
has been told so many times, like so many athletes, you can't do it.
Well, and to go into that, the young the young American girl, Miney Beebe, she is a shot track skater. She is the first African American. She was born in Ghana, and her father, when she was five, her father saw this sign. Ice skating lessons. Her father took her there. She took to it, and now she's 18, and she is one of the fastest short track skaters in the world. She's skating on Thursday, and she they had an interview on her on NPR today, and she's the most bubbly personality, and she describes herself as simply fierce.
Yeah.
I'm fierce, and her father has a sign that he's going to bring from the U.S. Nationals to Korea. Kick hiney, miney.
Well, the young lady who landed the first American woman to land a triple yesterday, same type thing. Nobody's going to tell her you can't do it. Just going to do it, and it's true in sports. It's true in life.
Yep.
Okay, what we want to do? We've got a few minutes here. I'm waiting. 978-325-3638. This is a test. 978-325-3638. See if anybody's listening live. Give us a call. Talk about your school. Brag about your team. Whatever it is, it could be anything. We've seen some fantastic displays of talent, team-wise and individual-wise, all winter long. And hard to believe, but this school year is just barreling by. It's just going. You're into February vacation coming up in a couple of days. And that means the tournament, the winter tournament, and then we're into spring sports.
Before I know it, I'll be retired for a year.
I don't want to tell you how long it's been for me, but yeah.
it's scary.
It is.
And
Well, it is on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, if I'm going for 200, so I'm not worried about my age. That's fine. You know, it's you just have to keep moving. And you know, the guy I really admire in the, you know, there's so many good stories about the Patriots, and you know, I'm not talking the negative crap, but I look at Dante Scarnecchia and I think, man, he is so cool. You know, you just see him on the sidelines, and he's talk about fierce and valuable. I mean, the guy is he'll be 70 his next birthday. And it's almost like they can't do without him. No, nobody can do what he can do.
Yeah, he has such a way of relating to the young linemen and this unique ability to literally coach them up, you know. And are they perfect? No, as we see on the occasion. But to get those guys to work together at that level. And is just amazing because they're not all number one draft choices across the front line. You know, most of these guys are, with the exception of Soto, who was the first round draft choice, these guys are all third, fourth, fifth, sixth round draft choices, who nobody really heard of. You know, when the past drafted, I don't think unless you were watching through the draft and you happened to watch some Saturday college games and you saw Soto, you didn't see any of these other guys play.
Right.
You know. So it's amazing his ability to get these guys to say, here's the mission, here's what we need to achieve, and he brings them all collectively to that point, and to be able to get your point across, you know.
I think he's tremendous.
You know, and he's nearly for some of these guys 50 years older.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
and to be able to communicate,
I know
it's incredible.
It is. It's just amazing. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back and. See if anybody is going to brag about his or her school. And then a little later on, we'll talk with Nick Kukuru. That's the other one. So we'll be right back. And this is MSO News Sports. Hold on.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood, offering traditional dining as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com.
Okay, I feel like I'm on that show on Netflix, Disjointed, where they show the blog on the TV. We have a caller. Hello there.
Hello there, yourself. How are we doing, gentlemen?
We're doing great. On the line is Bob Boyce, Danvers Baseball. Bob, you must be getting pumped up about baseball by now.
Not that we're counting down in Danvers, but we only have 35 days until March 19th.
Okay, and is that the first day of tryouts?
First day of workouts, yes, sir.
Oh my goodness gracious! All right, so what's been going on between the last time we talked and now?
Lots of sleep for the coaches.
Well, that's good because we just talked to Mike Giardi, and I don't think he ever sleeps.
No, Mike is probably the hardest working man in show business.
I'll give you that. So what are we looking at, Bob? We kept Mike for a long time, and I wanted to ask him about multi-sport athletes because he coaches so many different sports, and you see kid from sport to sport. And I know Tim is a big advocate of multi-sport athletes as well. How about you?
Absolutely. Learn to compete at other levels. Use other muscles. Meet other people. Play with other people. See other things in the world. You play one sport, you're programmed just to do that one sport. You know, in life, when you go to your job, do you only do one thing a day?
I don't think so. You need to learn how to compete.
Yeah, and you know, just to veer you off a little bit, Bob, I know the Davis mantra this year will once again be no pitching, no hitting, no fielding. I don't know how we're going to win a game.
Absolutely correct. I don't know how we're going to score a run. I don't see us winning any games. 0-21.
Oh, God. All right, so what is the outlook, Bob? Because obviously you're getting pumped already. I mean, the snow is melted. We don't have any green grass yet, but you're getting ready.
We are getting ready. We got 10 returners off a 21-win team. So we should be okay. Should be okay. The league's going to be a lot better. The team, everyone should be fearful of is Saugus. They are going to be very, very good.
Yeah, we had a couple of kids from Saugus at the clinic, and I was very, very impressed by him.
I have the same ones in the morning,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so you know who I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Those two gentlemen are very, very talented, and they've got some good supporting players, so they're going to be very good. Joe does a nice job with those kids. Marblehead with Mike is going to be very good again. Dave, Coach Wilbur over in Beverly is going to be really good again. I really like the league. Peabody's Peabody. The two Lynn teams are going to be a lot better. I have to believe Clasco, who went 20-1 last year, is going to be better, but they could be 21-0.
Wow.
So the league's going to be very competitive this year, which is nice.
Are you running any clinics or involved in clinics right now, Bob?
Just running a quick 2-hour-a-week thing on a Sunday morning for about 20 guys. Nothing spectacular, pretty informal. We got 6 or 7 Saugus kids. I think I got 4 of my Davis guys, a couple of kids from Winthrop, a couple of kids from Everett. It wasn't anything. It was a last-minute thing put together by Joe Lewis up at Extra Innings, and he asked me to give him a hand. That's what we're doing now.
How does that work out with the kids from different schools? Do they get to commiserate? Do they get to work, you know, together and sort of know each other in those clinics?
That's the biggest thing that the reason I did it is to make sure our Danvers guys get to meet other guys, because very rarely when you play, and you guys see it all the time by broadcasting the game, and Tim, you've seen it if he is coaching, you never get to talk to your opponent.
Okay, right.
I want to beat my opponent into the ground and walk away. Now you've got kids who actually get to interact with each other and figure out, hey, these kids are actually pretty nice kids.
Yeah, that was
great.
Yeah, that's always been the unique thing about the Beverly Clinic. You know, we had kids from all over the North Shore. We had a group that used to come down from Maine. They drive 3 hours from Maine to go to the clinic. And while certainly our numbers were down this year, we still had a spread of kids from Saugus, from Hamilton, Wenham, a couple of kids that we had a couple of Davis kids there, and you do, you get a chance, you know, you're waiting at the batting cage, you're standing there talking, you're side by side while you're pitching, or you're catching, or you're in the infield, and again, you get a chance to communicate with all these guys, and you're talking about your school, their school, you know, and all of a sudden you go out on the field in a game, and hey, there they are, and now it's, hey, how you doing, you know, and it just it just raises the level of camaraderie.
Well, it becomes a lot more personal.
Yes.
You know, sports are very impersonal because you, especially in the Northeast Conference with the way this thing is configured, you only see the guys once. Now you're going to see, you know, you see them once, you can actually talk to them. Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Then you'll see them in the summertime. You get to talk to them again. That's why these off-season clinics that these guys go to are more about social than they are about baseball or basketball or whatever. And that to me is important because 3 years from now, one of these guys might be your boss.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing too, Bob, I think that it brings there is that level of camaraderie, because you know some of these guys, you might not play as tight as you would in a situation where you don't know these guys, and that thought process comes in, who's this guy, what can he do, and you tense up. Now you know several of these guys on these other teams, and you almost, you're able to relax a little bit because you know these guys.
Exactly right. You know, you know your opponent, and it also makes the game a lot more fun. I want to beat Tommy because Tommy beat me in this over the wintertime. Well, I want to beat this guy because I know him. It just makes the game a lot more interesting.
I think the thing, too, about sports, that's why I hate Paul Ingram, by the way, and I use the word hate lovedly, because he beats me in everything. My God, it's just, if we did flipping coins into a cup, he would beat. It's just sick. But, you know, you do know these guys. I think the thing about sports, too, Bob, and this will be my final comment, is I've always said that, especially here on the North Shore, sports takes a great big geographic area and it makes it a small backyard because we all can communicate about sports. Like, we know everybody, we know guys from every town and city, and once we see those guys, we got that common ground of talking sports.
Absolutely, would totally 100% agree. And oh, by the way, I work for with a guy that's as competitive as Coach Ingram, too, by the way. He doesn't lose at anything.
Yeah,
either.
You do. Yeah, you do. Well, it's funny. They know each other so well, and I know I told you the story. I spent 5 minutes with Coach Day one time and Coach Ingram. We were watching a football game, and I spent 5 minutes with him, and I learned more about baseball from Coach Day in that 5 minutes than I think I had in my entire lifetime. And I know these kids when they grow up and they leave. In whatever sport they're being coached by these guys, I know, and the coaches that they have, including yourself, I know they appreciate the teaching that you're doing. And obviously, Tim and I wouldn't be doing that if we didn't appreciate what you're doing as well.
It's funny you should say that, Rick, because it's the 4 years that the kids hate us.
Yep.
But when we have the alumni gatherings,
yep,
all the kids come back from. Yep. 87 right up until last year, they all come back and say, and the first thing out of their mouth is, hey, Coach, thank you very much for everything you did for me.
Absolutely.
Or hey, Coach, I'm getting married in July. Would you be interested in coming?
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That to me is more important than any X's and O ball and strike you could ever, ever do in your lifetime.
That's what it's all about. Bob, thanks for calling in, brother, and we'll be checking with you on a regular basis pretty soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Hey Bob, one last thing for me.
Yeah,
certainly Jackson, the catcher from Saugus, he should be a real force in the league this year. Watching him catching and working with the pitches, and then seeing him in the cage, the very serious approach that he takes, he should have a really monster season this year.
Solid. He's one of the best players in the league. Don't forget, you got Spencer Brown, you got Jake Gustin. Jackson's battery mate, Tommy Tringale, is going to be a stud in this league for the next 2 years.
Now, the other catcher, I don't know if you know him, the Hamilton-Wenham catcher, Phil.
His last name is Parody?
First name is Phil, it could be.
I think it's Parody is his last name, yes.
This,
I know who he is.
This kid is going to be monster this year.
Yes.
Oh, my
Absolutely
God.
Correct.
He played linebacker
Absolutely
for the football
correct.
Team. So... Well, yeah, he's another one. People are looking. Go to Hamilton Wenham and catch their games, catch Saugus, see a couple of future possible prospects.
Masco, too. Masco, TJ's got a great team coming in.
Mm. All right, Bob, well, I'll catch you soon for a preseason interview.
Yeah, plus we'll also have a liquid refreshment or two, I'm guessing.
Then I know just where we'll meet.
Absolutely correct. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Take
All
care,
right,
Coach.
Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Fabulous Fridays and Sunday brunch are back at the Gloucester House. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, uses only locally caught, fresh North Atlantic seafood. Offering traditional dining, as well as catering to your private function needs. There is something for everyone and every occasion at the Gloucester House. Owned and operated by the Linquata family since 1959, they offer fabulous Friday lunch and dinner specials. And don't forget Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. For more information, go to GloucesterHouse.com.
All right, we're back on the air in Gloucester Times. Sports editor Nick Kukru has finally made connections with you, Nick. How you doing?
I know. Last week I was out at Rockport, Manchester Epic, so I couldn't get free.
Well, you know, the thing is I forget who I was talking to the mayor of Salem today about you, as a matter of fact, and how your schedule is, being virtually a one-man sports department, and you're covering four communities, and I don't know how many teams is that overall. Have you ever counted all the teams that you cover in a year?
No, I'd say it's close. I'd say about 40 or 40. I know it's 16 in the fall. I think it's a little bit less in the winter, and it's probably a little bit more in the spring.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Nick, what can you tell us? What's the first thing off the top? I'm trying to figure out Gloucester's hockey record here because I've got two different numbers. What's the number you have for their overall win-loss?
9-5-3.
9-5-3. Okay.
Yeah, 9-5-3. They beat Rockport Sunday, lost to Danvers on Saturday, the day before.
Okay, and reading your account in the
weekend game.
Reading your account, they played Danvers pretty tough for two periods, the last two periods.
Yeah, so Phil Stacy actually covered that game, but they got down 4-0 and then came roaring back with three straight goals. That's kind of Gloucester's MO, not to fall behind, but you know, when they score goals, they really score goals in bunches. They get one, and usually they get another one right on top of it, and which they did. They scored three quick ones, including two shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
To get back into the game, and then the Danvers got a late power play goal, put it away.
Well, Danvers obviously looks to be the class. They are the class. They've demonstrated that. But, you know, I'm looking at the standings, Nick, in hockey, and you've got six or seven schools in the NEC who have had really good seasons, and I'll name them quickly. Beverly, Medford, Winthrop, Danvers, Swampscott, Gloucester, and Lynn. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, as usual, that NEC is just so deep, especially the Lodge. The Lodge is just a ridiculously strong league from top to bottom. Everyone just, that's what makes it so remarkable that that Danvers is able to go unbeaten and untied this season, playing against those types of teams every night. It's pretty amazing. I know I've been following Matt Williams tonight. They're in a real battle with Masconomet right now, about down 3-2 in the second, I believe. Sounding like a real wild back and forth first period.
Well, I know they've loaded up the schedule to be tested heading into the tournament. And, you know, all that said, we're talking two of the powers in the league not being powers this year, with Marblehead and Peabody regrouping with so many young kids. So, you know, this league could be strong for quite a while.
It is. And Marblehead is not nearly as bad as its record. They've had a bunch of close and tight losses. I think, you know, they don't really have the firepower that they've had the last few years, but they're pretty good. They just haven't been able to score enough goals, but they've been right there with everybody.
Yeah, and Peabody is skating so many young kids.
Peabody's had a tough time this season, but they'll be back. I mean, you know, they're always a factor, just a down year for them.
All right, Nick, what is it with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, otherwise known as Gloucester basketball?
that's a good way to put it. I mean, they're 8-8. They got to win two out of their last four to get in, and that is going to be no easy task this week. Peabody tomorrow, Somerville Thursday, and then they're at the Beverly Holiday Tournament on Sunday and Monday. Masconomet on Sunday, and then Beverly or Fenwick on Monday. So, you know, they're going to have to really, you know, play their best this week to get in, because all four of those, you know, I'd say they'd probably be the underdog in all three. Masconomet, probably a little closer, but Peabody and Somerville are definitely, I'd say, the favorite, at least on paper, coming into those. But at the same time, we've seen Gloucester boys beat Salem this year. They probably could have beaten Lynn Classical, too, in a really tough game. They took Salem down to the wire. So, I mean, they've proven that they can compete with any team.
Yeah, but then they go against a Revere team that won one game, and they're not even in the game.
Yeah, that was a weird result. And then they lost to Winthrop on the road. Winthrop's kind of been a big thorn in their side. Their swingman, Taewon McKenzie, has just owned them. I mean, he scored about 8 points in the last 2 minutes last year to knock Gloucester out of the tournament on the last game of the season. And then he hit a three-pointer with 2 seconds left to beat them last week. So I think Gloucester's glad that they don't have to see him ever again, because he has just been really, really good and really, you know, crushed Gloucester a couple times. But we'll see. I mean, they seem to get a little bit of their mojo back in that abbreviated, and it was only a 9.5-minute game. But as that game was going on, they seemed to get a lot, you know, more confidence and a lot more, you know, in control as that game went. Because they fell down by 9 right away in that restart, and they battled back to win the fourth and win it in overtime. Mm-hmm.
Now, the girls will probably not make the tournament. I thought they had more, that with the talent that they had coming back, I thought that they would have had a better year and at least easily have qualified for the tournament.
Yeah, I was thinking that today. They had a real tough break before the season even started. Two, you know, I know scoring has been their biggest issue this season, but two of their veteran seniors, Danielle Larrabee and Taylor Abbott, both suffered injuries in the fall season and were lost for the entire winter season. I know those aren't two of their star players, they're more role players, but they would have made a big difference to their experience. I mean, they run a really short bench, they got to play some real young kids.
out there. And, yeah, I was surprised, too, that they only missed it by a game last season. You know, if you take away the first three games where they were kind of learning, you know, the system, the new system, they were a tournament caliber team. And they didn't really lose, you know, any of their stars. I know Megan Manning was an excellent point guard, but, I mean, they had their two top scorers returning. So it's been interesting. But I think, you know, outside of Schrock and Knowlton, I think, you know, opponents kind of really take one of them out, and they don't really have a third option.
Yeah, what really threw me for a loop is I was watching the scoring leaders come in, is that for most of the season, Claire Knowlton wasn't anywhere near even 7 points per game, and I would have figured her for easily double figures, but, you know, then I found out that she was playing more outside than inside, and inside would be, you know, where she was a terror last year.
It is. They got a void at point guard, which you know, Megan left. Whitney Schrock is a good point guard, but you know, a lot of the times they have Claire and Whitney bringing the ball up the floor when teams press them, so Claire's been kind of on the perimeter. I will say in the games that I've seen that they've won, she's been real smart and unselfish. You know, they when they do put her in the post, she's been double-teamed, and she just quickly passes out of it and finds, you know, the open person. So she's been contributing. She just isn't scoring the 15 points per game this
summer. All right, Nick, what's coming up in the sports section of the Gloucester Times this week?
Well, just a little preview tomorrow on the Division 4 track meet coming up Wednesday. Both Gloucester and Manchester Essex are in Division 4, and we'll be at the Gloucester Peabody boys game tomorrow because that's a huge one. I think if Gloucester wins that one, they'll probably get in. If they lose that one, they're going to have a real tough time.
All right. I know you're going to have a busy week. Are you helping the in-laws pack?
I haven't yet. No, I think they got it down. They're going in a couple of days.
I know. They're our neighbors, and I'm going to miss them so much. But they're going to warmer climes, so good luck to them.
Exactly. They're not going to have to deal with shoveling.
Nope.
Zero temperatures anymore.
So. Not unless the jet stream moves.
Yeah.
Or that.
All right, Nick. Thank you so much for your help tonight. We'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Take care, Nick. Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times Sports Editor, and that's it. That's our fast hour for tonight. It's gonzo. My goodness gracious. No show next week due to the holiday. President's Day. And we'll be back at it after that, and it's just rolling on. Any final thoughts there, Coach?
How did the Celtics get themselves on track? They've taken a couple of hellacious beatings in the last week and a half or so. I know they got some new personnel to weave in there, but they've just been really inconsistent. And we'd like to see them level the ship and get it pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm concerned whether they've come back
plateaued
to their level. Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be just a little mini slump.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you get beat by 22 yesterday to Cleveland with basically four no names.
James did that by himself. He was unstoppable.
That's what I heard. But you know, he did something, you know, and yesterday that he couldn't do with the name players. They traded all the name players away. All the older players, they brought four guys in off the bench, and they do that.
Feed him.
You know, as some of the talking heads, that's the scary part about the Cavaliers. Can they keep up this identity? The Bruins just keep winning. You know, they lost one of them, but they came back with a big win yesterday. So let's get
here's
them
the
going.
Thing with the Bruins. I'm not even going to mention. I'm just going to knock on the wood, and I'll tell you what. I hope beyond all telling that Patrice Bergeron gets the MVP because he is so good. He is so freaking good, and this year he's on a line that lets him score.
Yeah, he's always been the guy that sort of, even though he's been a 20 goal scorer, he's been the guy that. He sees someone open who has a better shot. He gives the puck up. He's not going to take the shot. He's gonna set up, and he's always done that throughout his career. And because he hasn't been that selfish sort of player that, well, I can get 30 goals if I just shoot more. He's the guy that says, well, this guy has a much better chance of scoring than I can, you know, if I make this one pass. And so he gives up those statistics. And we know a lot of these stats, a lot of these awards are given away based on stats. And so while, you know, he stays out of the penalty box. And for that stat, he gets the Lady Bing.
Do you think occasionally he goes up and slaps Marchand upside the head? I think he does.
I just don't see it in him.
Oh, I do.
But I think he may quietly in the locker room go up there and go, don't make me slap
you. Okay, that's
more his style.
You won't like me when I'm angry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't make me angry.
Don't poke the bear.
What was that?
Okay.
That was Bill Bixby in, what was that show, The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
You won't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah.
Don't make me angry.
I like Mongo, but don't shoot him. Only make him mad.
Okay. All right, that's it for tonight. Thanks for being with us. That's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. The man always, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.